Good afternoon. It's the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Waller. I have Philip Walthall on my right, Scott Bishop on my right, and James Uessler has returned to the playing field out there in left. Welcome, everybody. How are we doing?
We are doing.
We're here, and good morning.
The bird is going at it there in left field.
Yeah, it's very appropriate, too. You ask a question, nobody says anything.
That's right.
It's like a good bird. That was far better than mine. Yeah. I don't even know what that was.
Paul, you remember in Little League, you had the kid that would, like, stand and look out the stadium with his back to the diamond?
That'd be me.
Yeah.
I know somebody at work like that.
The only thing worse than watching baseball is playing it. You sit there, you get no action the whole game because everybody pulls to left field. I'm right field. Nothing. Nothing. Every game the same way. It's like all the action's over left field. Why don't y'all let me go over there? Like sleeping over here. Come on.
Couldn't figure that out.
And, all right. Well, they're saying we have a buzz. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know.
And we got fresh batteries.
It's not the battery.
Well, praise the Lord. So, James, what do you gotten out of services today?
Well, the one thing Scott was talking about in the beginning, you know, people trying to find themselves. What was interesting to me about that, or that hit me, and you kind of went to it when you first got up, was if you really want to find out about yourself, choose to serve the Lord. You're going to find out everything about yourself. And most of it you're not going to like, but you will find out about yourself.
Amen. And, you know, I mean, one of the things in that, I mean, it's not that the Lord, I remember, you know, Scott Stevens, I kind of am thinking of Scott Stevens. And when Scott Stevens would talk about how he comes to realize some things about himself, you know, years down the road. Years down the road after being a Christian, he comes to find out some things about himself, and he's like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was like that. And, you know, the Lord's good. I mean, the Lord didn't, you know, show Scott everything that was how he was right away. You know, it was as he went and walked, we go through a purging where we go through situations that shows us how we are. And there's kind of like a light shown on our heart, and it shows us just how we are. And, you know, it's piece by piece that this happens. And a lot of times it's through, you know, either, you know, situations that come up, you know, whatever the case may be, that kind of is like you know, when I think of it, I kind of look about the purifying of gold. And I've heard it preached before where, you know, you heat that gold up and the impurities come to this, our silver, and you heat that up and the impurities come to the top, and you scrape, they get those things scraped away, and it sits there and it cools back down, heat it back up, those impurities, and it comes, and what that does is it gets rid of those impurities. Or we can say in ourselves, it gets rid of our unbelief. You know, I mean, I can think of just in my life, just when I came back from doing my own thing, just completely leaving the ministry, and I came back with Hope. And the situation was she was pregnant. And, you know, I mean, it was one of these things where it was like, oh my goodness, you know, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? And I remember everybody saying, trust the Lord, Phil. No, trust the Lord. And in the midst of that, it was like, all right, am I trusting the Lord? I'm trusting the Lord. All right, I'm going to trust the Lord. Now, am I trusting the Lord? I mean, and it was to me, it kind of reminded me of like the children of Israel, where the Lord's power is being manifested to me. His love was being manifested to me. And the next thing I know, at the end of all this, and we had some trials and tribulations and hoops and all these things that came up in the midst that we couldn't get the trailer. We could get the trailer, but I remember Rick telling me, just trust the Lord, trust the Lord. At the end of that whole thing is we had what my mind, what I was thinking of in the midst of all that thing was, I'll be renting a place out. I need to go find a place to rent, all these things. But what happened was far better than I can ask you to think. Brand new place right here on the property next to my grandmother, right next to my stepfather, who's my discipler at the time. It was just above I can ask or think. The places I was looking at the rent were in my affordable range, right next to people. I mean, very crowded places. Man, I had like an acre yard field. I mean, but it was just him manifesting himself to me. So what I get, you know, when you kind of go to Romans where, in tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. It brought me something that, you know what, the Lord is faithful. I can trust Him. I can count on Him. And that got rid of some unbelief there. I had a lot of unbelief. You know why I knew that? Because I was wringing my hands at every corner.
You were sweating it a little bit.
I was sweating it. Remember, Paul and I had to choose to trust the Lord. I mean, it was a battle for me. But He showed Himself to be faithful. So, got rid of some other unbelief. That was a purifying thing. Now look, the tribulation, and I remember in service, I was talking about the tribulation there. You know, in this world, Jesus says, in this world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Yeah, that's the end of 16.
The end of 16. Yeah. Amen. That's where you were at this morning, yeah. Paul. And it's one of the things we trust His victory, and His victory, what He accomplished, what He has done. And the tribulation that I had through all that was for me to exercise my faith muscle there. And it wasn't the Lord that put me in that situation. No. Everything was upside down. I got myself into that situation. I did. He's the one that flipped it up right side up. And all He was saying is, yeah, you messed up, but I forgive you. And I got something for you, Phil. Come get it. Here it is. Here, I'm going to show you. I know you're battling here. You got a lot of unbelief, and it's no shock to Him. Might have been a shock to me that I had this much unbelief, but it was no shock to Him. But He showed Himself faithful. He had something good for me. And see, that's how it is. I was talking with Scott earlier before we came in, and it's an interesting thing how we are. You know, the Lord brings up, He brings His ministers around, and we were just kind of talking about the tractor a little bit. We were kind of talking about the shed and how lights start to be shown in these places and areas that needs fixing, needs working on in our lives. And we were using the tractor, for example, and I remember you mentioning something about the tractor. You telling me about these things. Man, we got a new way. We got the tractor fixed to where it was going to be. But it's an example of a light that shines in our heart in an area where we're in wrong and fault, not going His way. And see, those ministers are... The ministers He brings to us is for our good. It's for our benefit. Now we have two choices. You can get offended. You can get pissed off. And reject that counsel and think you're getting attacked and being harmful. See, that's your carnal mind. That's your carnal man that's staying there. But it's not. It's for your good. It's for relief. It's for a better way. I remember there was so much opportunity presented to me. I'm thinking, this is crap. This is too much. This is, oh my goodness. This is God's swarm. There's no way, possible way. It was for my good.
You know,
and not just for the good for me, but for others. And for others to partake of. But that's how the Lord works. And if we would just understand that in Him is light and there's no darkness at all. What do we got to fear? Go ahead, Paulie. I'm sorry.
It reminds me, you know, of the children of Israel. Was the, you know, Lord shows them the power of His deliverance, and He gets them through the Red Sea in a powerful and dynamic way, and they get into the desert there, and he shows them his presence. They've seen his power, and they have his provision, and they would have none of it. They would rather labor in bondage for the spiciness of the food. And I guess, you know, sleeping in
and
buildings.
And for the comfortableness.
Yeah.
Of knowing what's going to be the next day. What's going to be the next day.
Instead of being challenged to live by faith. You get in a place of desperation. You've got two choices. You justify yourself or you seek the Lord. They wanted to justify themselves, not to seek the Lord. And they had the Lord. His presence was there. All they had to do was talk. Talk to Moses. But, you know, they didn't. They would have had their way. They would have killed God's man who was leading them. He put Moses in there. And they resented that, too. All this has been some of what I was talking about today was, you know, you get into that position where something got to change. But the right thing to do is seek the Lord all the time. That works every time. It is always the right thing to do. The wrong thing to do is to seek to justify yourself. And at the end of that is never pretty. And if the Lord loves you, there's correction there.
Amen.
But that's not. That is our default position. That's the nature we're trying to put off and battle against. Its testimony is lies and unbelief. And its end is destruction. Why would you be there? Why would you not rather have the Jesus Christ, whose testimony in 16 is really a long-form version of 1 Peter 5, where it says he cares for you. Down to caring about whether you're joyful or not. How have you received the joy that is bountiful for those who've learned who I am, and that I'm there for them in the mundane and the everyday and the stuff that doesn't make a whole lot of difference, because I care about you as well as the big stuff.
Amen. Amen. And I could see time. I mean, I was just thinking, it's like a flashcards. I mean, time and again, the smallest things, the smallest situation where I lift up the Lord, the Lord. Victory, victory, victory. And you see that that's one of the things you're talking about, that joy, and one of the things that I remember
he talked about it two or three times right there in the same chapter. That must be pretty important
absolutely.
For us to know and
absolutely.
Believe.
And see, when those impurities come off, there's joy. There's a weight lifted. We don't have that nasty infection. We've put Jesus on that nasty infection. That's the antibiotic to get rid of that thing, which is unbelief and sin and death and destruction.
Yes.
And yeah, but I remember talking. I was talking to you and going and visiting Steve. It was a joyful time, And I remember just talking to you and kind of what I was talking about going to minister. You know, I struggle with this, Steve. You know, I struggle with that. You know, I struggle with this. You know, come about him and what the children of Israel. And what's going through my mind right now is when you said when you're talking about Moses. They had Moses right there. The children of Israel, instead of going to Moses, or instead of going, who Moses put over that person, or whoever the case may be, instead of going, man, I'm struggling, man. We're out here in the desert. I'm struggling with these things. And, you know, whatever was necessary, the correction or encouragement or a reminder, remember the Red Sea? Remember his power being manifested?
That's what was delivered to you in your time with the trailer. They was just trust the Lord.
Trust
the encouragement.
Yeah.
Just trust the Lord. That's all you needed.
Amen.
And that may been simple, something simple like that, that would have gotten them through.
Yeah.
But they continued in unbelief.
They would not have it. They would not humble themselves and go to Moses. And you see, there's a big, big part there that was in keeping them from getting that thing diffused. They wouldn't go to the Lord, or they wouldn't go to Moses, his minister.
That's right.
Because of why? Pride.
That's right.
That took humility to do, and humility to hear.
Amen.
They weren't. The Lord wasn't talking to them directly. He had to get it through Moses.
Right.
But it took humility. But that's why they did not receive it. It all came down to their pride. And instead they murmured and complained and would not have it. Would not have it. And there's the Lord's like, I got a promised land right here. I mean, you think of the reports. It's flowing with milk and honey, like he promised Joshua and Jacob. They wanted to hang them, screw them up and kill them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where whatever the situation, gosh, I just, there's a similarity in here. I remember it's like, man, it intimidates me were some of the things that came across my face. Absolutely intimidated, but look, it comes down to this. If I don't do it, look at King David. He was still to be king afterwards. And the gospel was revealed to David. Him not being king and choosing to step down and not doing that which he was called to do would have been a choice in unbelief. But he believed and trusted in the Lord because he chose to stand and to go forward in that which the Lord did. And he submitted unto all God's judgment. But you look at King David, and all that was him believing and trusting on the mercy and grace and deliverance of Jesus Christ. It was revealed to him. But that showed he believed him. And see, when those things that tribulation or whatever the situation or whatever the thing you may face comes to you, comes down, you can choose to believe him. Choose them, trust them.
Yeah. And we've talked about little things and big things. You know, I mean, a lot of those folks have a lot of little things in their lives, and all those things add up to what seems to be a big thing. But just focusing on the Lord in each of them little situations, and as those peel away and as those, you know, are resolved, and you start to gain that trust and that confidence in Christ, everything else becomes much easier because you learn to trust and you learn to rely upon Him.
Amen.
We have to look at everything, not just that big thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's every day. I mean, it's every day. I mean, you lift up, I mean, the day of work that you have at hand, you lift up your family. How are you going to be, you know, to your family, those around you, your workplace. All those things, the relationships you have with your wife or your bosses, you lift up all these things, people around you. And keep the Lord your focus in all those things. Watch it get strength. I remember there was a conversation I think it was Steve. He's talking about his relationship with his wife, and his relationship with his wife and him are very good. Really good. And one of the things that he mentioned as he was ministering to this particular person at the time, I remember, was, but he lifts up his relationship with his wife all the time. All the time. See fruit of it. You know, so we have. I mean, it's just, he's available. He's the Lord's at hand. It's right there. We have ministers all around. You're struggling with anything, man. We got a pretty big ministry of people to go talk to. We got disciples.
Funny.
I mean, it's just right there. It's right there for you. It's for our good. And what did he say? He gave. Go ahead, Paulie.
It's just that, you know, the people get this concept of what being married's like and all this. They get married and they find out they married a jerk. It's because it's very natural.
Yeah, ask Hope.
It's very natural to become disenchanted and decide that, you know, these things that were cute when we were dating we were cute when we were dating. They're really a pain in the butt now, and like, So it's natural to at that point to say, all right, look, I'm done. What's unnatural is to take that relationship to the Lord, along with all the other stuff you take to the Lord, and you cheat. Because supernaturally, the Lord ministers in the midst of that relationship. And because you humbled yourself and took it to the Lord, He can work in both of you to make that relationship profitable for everyone that's involved. Because by this time, there's usually children involved as well. And friends and people you work with and all this other kind of stuff. And becomes, rather than a point of contention and looking for people to commiserate with, it becomes a victory and a testimony. Amen. To the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And that He, in the everyday stuff, He is there to minister in all stuff. Everyday stuff, big stuff, small stuff. He's the Lord of our lives. And He loves us.
And it's right there. I mean, and that's the thing. It's right there. And people, I say people, we are people, but it's right there. But do you do that? I mean, there, you got your discipler right there. He's there for you. Do we bring those things up? Do we? I mean, you take a look at, people's walk and who has prospered in the Lord, and it's, you see the fruitfulness. I mean, what you see is their steps in doing it. What did they do? You know, he says that you know, where Paul talks about, you know, as me being an example. And I look at examples that we have, and I remember at a minister's conference, and said, you know, Steve is a blind fool for Christ. And you see where Steve went from. But what did he do? He took all these things. He took it to Davey. He took these. I mean, before he married Megan, he carbon copied the emails and he sent them to Davey. I mean, he wanted to check himself. He wanted himself examined before the Lord. You know, you look at King David. He did the same thing, and when he did seek the Lord in his choices, it was blessed. Yes, should I go take the Philistines? Yes, I'll take the Philistines. You know, go up and take the Philistines. I mean, he sought the Lord all the time. I think there was. The thing with Bathsheba and Uriah, I don't think he didn't sought the Lord on that. It didn't turn out very good for him. But it's just to go to show you is that there's deliverance there. It's right
what
there.
What it did go to do was to show how good the Lord is.
He did. And when he was caught dead to rights, when he was chastened, submitted to the chastening, and it was nobody else's fault but his own. And he recognized that. He didn't justify himself.
He didn't blame anybody else.
He didn't blame anybody else. He found grace and mercy. We have that available all around. There's something else when you're talking. It was going through my head, Paulie, but I guess long gone. It's like floated away.
The same grace and the same mercy is available and exists for everybody today.
Absolutely.
Who will humble themselves and not choose to justify themselves, but will choose rather to get it right. It's doable. It's not something that's unattainable. It is actually His plan. He knew what he was getting into. He knew what we're like.
Yeah, you read. Yeah, it came back. Yeah. And he gave the church what? Gifts? Is what he says. The gifts that he called them? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers.
Right.
And we're all called to that ministry. But not only that, what is that for? To the edifying of the body, to ministering to others. I mean, these are gifts. It didn't say curses. Those were gifts. Those ministers that come to you that shine lights in areas that have been unprofitable.
You mean they're not ways for him to get even with
Yeah, it? Yeah. No, it's not. It's amazing. It's a funny thing. I mean, where it's like, don't put on God the way you are. It was years ago. And somebody says, man, I'm freaking out. and unbelief, all these things. He goes, you know, I'm thinking of this, thinking of that. He goes, Phil, you're a jerk. Yeah, I know. So don't put what you are on God. Oh, it's amazing.
Because one of the things that does is it justifies you in being a jerk. So that's one of the reasons why that's not a good thing to do.
Amen. He showed me nothing but good things.
That's right.
Me, on the contrary, this is the opposite. But you know, kind of get back to the point a little off the end. But those are gifts. I mean, those are for the church. I mean, there are for a benefit. So when that light shines, man, it's for our good. It's for our relief. We might not see them as much at the time. I mean, when we get chastised, doesn't it say, now for the present time of being chastised, it doesn't seem to be joyful. I need to probably go to Scripture and actually read for what it is. But afterward, it feels...
yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
It's deliverance on the other side of that thing.
Yeah.
It's above you can ask or think on the other side of that thing.
Mm.
And it's for others to partake of.
That's right.
Paul the
Apostle. Even in the... There's an outcome even of that exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think, where that when you meet that and you sit there and you, if you just sit there and go, oh wow, that's so super neat, but you know that was done for you to do it to others. That was done for you to minister that to others. That was done because He loves you, and He's showing you how to love others.
Amen. And you can read, and you can read. That's what the apostles, and prophets down the road. That's what these gifts they are for. It's for you, for others. You partake in that office for who? Others. You freely you have received, freely give.
And part of that minutia that he's concerned about, that the, you know, he's showing me out of John chapter 16, the reason that matters is, again, for that same thing, because he was our example. He's showing us how to prefer somebody else, how to love somebody else, how to minister for their good, for their sake, in the trivial, even the most minute aspects, stuff that may not matter to you a bit, but it matters to them because it's an important or an irritant or, you know, something. But you can take some stuff off of them and you can minister the concern and the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ to them and show them Him because you've seen Him do that.
For you, you have that experience.
That's right.
You know,
and that's why you get that experience. Not so you can hoard it and go run off and hide yourself in a cage.
Well, no,
so you can go do it to somebody else.
And right when you're saying that, what came into mind, that talent in the dirt, where the men, where he's talking about, that one man hit it, dug it up, put it away. That's not what it's there for. And remember, we got the example of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee.
That's right.
These things are for others. For others, what does the body do?
Well, you when tap Jesus into walked, that, the stuff just keeps rolling. The refreshment, just like in the Sea of Galilee, the refreshment waters keep coming.
Amen.
And it'll stop when you stop.
Yep. We're called to be His body.
That's right.
He's given it unto His body. What was He about? Glorifying the Father.
That's right.
Glorifying the Father. All about the gospel. That's what we're to be about. That's what it's for. And you look at one of the things that you said, what kind of went through my mind, I remember when you were preaching. And whatsoever thing you ask of me, I will do. And what the other scripture that came into mind, where you, and you did hit on it, some it, talking about, but that's where your heart changes from consuming upon your own lust But the other scripture that goes into is, I think of where he goes, well, when a child asks of him for bread, will he give him a stone?
Right.
The Lord's not going to give you something that's going to kill you. If we ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? That's not the Lord. And if that's what, and he's talking to the 11 there, and that's what he's telling the 11, and that's, the word's true. So if you're not getting that which is...
And when you wrap your mind around receiving it and giving it forth and not hanging on to it for your own self and hiding and accumulating it to your own purposes, then the Lord's abundance becomes yours. And when you ask him for a thing, you get it because he knows where you're gonna, what you're gonna do with it.
Amen.
He knows where your heart is because you're starting to show that you learned something from him while he was ministered here on earth. And everything he did was for two, was to please the Father, and because he loved the people and he wanted them to have reconciliation with the Father.
Amen.
That was his mission. That was why he came. That was what his work was.
Amen. So if you're asking for something, you're totally off. He's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you.
Right.
He's a loving Father.
He's not about you, acquiring stuff until at the end the person with the most wins. It's not about that. It's about that with the acquiring stuff and giving that which you acquire, giving it away, and the people you win in the end, the most people you win in the end, you win because you demonstrate the same ministry that Jesus was doing right there in 16, 15, 16, 14, 15, 16, the most, to me, the most revealing chapters in the Gospels about his ministry.
I would say 17, too.
17, yeah.
17 shows how it works.
Right. Even 13.
His way.
Even 13 is yeah. Big. 13 through 17, really, really good. There's good learning in there.
And all of it is, but 17 wraps it up to how it relates to you.
Yeah.
Because all that is for the 11.
Right.
But then it switches over how it relates to you and how you receive it.
That's right.
And then how it works, when you receive it, you give it out. Just like you're talking about. And the Lord, the Jesus' ministry was all reconciliation between God and man, all the way to the cross, to the resurrection.
Right.
We're supposed to be ministering the same thing.
And, all right, that time I lost it. Somebody else is going to have to see if I can get it back. I knew I was waiting too long. If I didn't hold it. If I had hold of it a second, it was gone. It was gone.
Oh. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's great. Didn't help any, but that's great. And true. Praise the Lord. the truth is that the way he ministered was perfect. And it pleased those who didn't operate out of pride and expectation of power and position. And it ruffled the feathers of the ones who did. And they chased him everywhere and wanted to do him hard. He says, he opened 16 with... They will run you out of synagogues, and it's going to look like
you're not on the right course. But, you know, trust me here. Trust me here. And the end of 16, he says, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world.
Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
And that overcoming, that process is explained how that works in 17.
Yep.
And it works through to the disciples there. It works through those apostles.
Yep.
And he meets you as he met them from the word of their testimony. You partake in the power and the love and the mercy and the grace that is given to them to distribute.
And at the same time, as you partake and participate of that same gospel, you can also be that part where others partake of that same gospel.
The word of your testimony.
Through the word of your testimony, absolutely. How did they overcome him? That is the devil. By the blood of the Lamb. Word of the testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Didn't matter. Look at Paul. He went from place to place getting stoned, didn't care. Did not love his life to the death. He did not care. Putting the word out, putting the gospel out. Others may receive. And you see, he was rejected all over the place, but you see, and right there written, you got all those epistles. You see where churches were established. If he had not come, would there have been one?
The thing that gets me there's always somebody who is his in captor, who part of the emperor party and authority, who he converts. You know, the guy that was captain in that prison ship started listening to Paul. It's like, the man, guard, what'd you say?
The guard at the prison.
Yeah.
Before they even put him on the prison ship, the judge or governor of the area, you almost have me convinced if you hadn't appealed to Caesar, I would have let you go, man.
Yeah.
And it just takes a note. I mean, if we are his body...
Remember the saints in the house of Caesar. He had converts in Caesar's house.
So if we're the body, if we're not willing...
That's taking it to the enemy, friend. Yeah.
Right. We're not willing to love not our lives unto the death. Could be starving somebody from hearing the word, hearing the gospel.
Yeah.
And don't let fear get in the way. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You listen to fear over the Lord. There's a choice there. You need to determine to listen to the Lord, no matter what it is.
The Lord doesn't give us a spirit of
fear but of power.
Power, sound.
Love.
Love and a sound mind.
Yep. Love, power, and a sound mind.
Yep.
That's part of the things he's handing out there to you.
That's right.
We're supposed to throw the seed. We're not here to judge the ground.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. But if you love your life, you won't be just sowing the seed. You'd be too scared to.
First John.
What are people going to think? What are people going to say? All you care is about what the Lord has. And those over you. That's it.
This, I don't know, all of this is so good. I don't know if I'm going to read all of it, but let's just say I'm going to do 18, verse 18 in John, 1 John chapter 4, but everything that's before 18 is great. So, read it. There's no fear in love. But perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Simplicity of the message. We love him because he first loved us. And we have the ability to love him now. because he loved his life, not unto the death. Not, this is not a challenge that he's asking us to do that he hasn't done first.
And we're talking about partaking of the gospel, talking about partaking of the of his, what he has. And the thing that we offer, that's of any good. Remember he says in 15, without me you can do nothing. The thing that we all have to offer is the thing that he's given us.
That's right.
It's nothing we construed. It's nothing that we could do. It's none of these things. No, it's just that we choose to partake, and what we offer it that's of any good is something's already given. I mean, right. What does it he say? I mean, he says, give me a love. One of my prayers is, give me your love to love others with, because within my own self, I can't love anybody. I'm selfish. I love myself. What was it that Abel offered? A living sacrifice. He offered he offered something that was alive, not the thing that was cursed from the earth, but he offered that which is
a ram.
A ram. He didn't create the lamb, ram.
No.
Had nothing to do with that. He said, go do this. Offer this up. Okay, here you go. The Father's saying the same thing. But you got Jesus. That's what pleases.
It's a real simple thing. He was obedient.
Yeah.
And Cain wasn't.
Yeah.
Cain decided that, you know, he could make an alteration to the plan. And that'd be just as good. I don't know how many times I've done that. Not worked out well.
For me neither. And the same goes where we were talking about John chapter 17. Same go there. Well, Lord, I think I'm just going to just alter this plan. And I don't know. Why didn't it work out? But it's his plan. It's been perfect from the beginning.
Right.
Nothing's changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Forever.
Forever. Thank you.
Yeah, the plan hasn't changed. It's still been the same plan since the garden.
That's right. And here he is. You guys can partake of it.
There's no point in that whole run as God been sitting up there wringing his hands, worrying about the outcome. How's this going to work? Did I do the right thing? Yeah, that's not how. He is not like us.
That's right.
So the deal is, the blessing for us is to partake of that plan. To commit, to turn our lives over to him. There is this his. You know. He says, love us not our own lives unto death. Again, what's it to me?
Wasn't mine anyway.
Wasn't mine anyway. I'm not even equipped to make this choice.
Amen. But you're reading there, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you wanted to read further. See what it says.
In 1 John?
Yeah.
If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Not ambiguous at all. And it hits us where we live, because we all think that we can do this our own way and get away with it. Come on. Phil? Really? What's the love about Phil? Come on. And it's like, or Scott Bishop here, come on.
But what does it teach us? It's not talking about filial love. It's not talking about, well, we know it's not talking about the other type, and I don't even know what it's called.
Eros,
that's it. Yeah. I was talking about that agape love. You choose to love them, no matter how they are.
That's right.
Not conditional.
Yeah. Not conditional on what a jerk they are.
Right.
Or how much they love you. They serve you back. How much they return of what you do for them. Not about that. You're not keeping a bank account. Because if that was working, then, you know, all the stuff you could accumulate and become like the Dead Sea.
Well, Don't do as the same as the Gentiles do.
Yeah. Or the Pharisees, for that matter.
Well, the Gentiles, what does it say in Matthew? Where it talks about the Gentiles, where they lend to hope to seek to get again.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Lynn not expecting anything back.
That's right.
Give grace, not expecting anything back. Not expecting them to love you all of a sudden. Not expecting them to do anything. No, you stand grace, you stand mercy, you stand the Lord. That's between them and the Lord. They hate you for it, they hate you for it. That's right. They love you for it, praise God. Partake. But that is that's a good thing. It's, Lord, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Your brother comes up and offends you. You get pissed, want to kick his
kill
tail.
Him. You want to kill him.
You want to kill him. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Even matter of fact, a minister comes and tells you the truth because the Lord does love you. And you want to kill him. That's more like it than anything.
And I do, you know, it just doesn't matter that you have no intent of carrying out that is, but it's like hatred that is the genesis of all murder. And it's like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. Still, that's crazy how that works. Yeah, it just rises up in you because this whole body here, death is in league with the enemy. Who comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. This is just part of these truths that you need to agree with. And then, you know, to the degree that your heart isn't there, you know, ask the Lord to help.
I caught. And that's that thing of just becoming open and honest with the Lord. For where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows how you are. It's not a surprise to him.
You can't hide it, so you just as well seek him to help, intervene.
Well, see, one of the things says, James, you said in the very beginning of the service, of the hour of truth was, one of the things you said was that, are you talking about getting to know yourself? You know, seek to serve the Lord. You start to get to know yourself. It's one of the things is when we come. And I was talking about Scott Stevens. Sometimes we come to acknowledge of how we are. We're like, oh my goodness, the only person that it's a shock that the way you are is like you, man.
Yes.
It's not a shock to the Lord. So you can bring these things to the Lord. You become honest and open for, Lord, I'm struggling. I heard Steve service some of these things. Lord, I get created in me a clean heart. That's what David cried out for. Lord, give me I struggle with the will to do your will. Lord, I struggle with the love to love others with. Lord, I struggle. I battle. I need your help. Lord, help me. This is where I'm at, and it's wrong. I'm dead wrong. Lord, change me. I need you.
It's one of the best verses in the Bible, in Philippians there, where it says, is him that is to work the willing to do of his good pleasure. He worketh in me to willing to do of his good pleasure. It's not there. Not that I'm not going to gin that one up on my own.
Heck no. And you know, I mean, what does it say? It says, Paul planted, Paulus watered, but God give us the
increase. That's right.
And you see, you just turn, and it's just all about making that choice. When you really want to serve him, you really.
Just about the time you start getting real pleased about where you've come and what you've accomplished, you remember that it wasn't into you to do it to begin with.
Exactly.
That was him working in you.
Absolutely.
That allowed any of that stuff to happen.
And then, so who gets the praise?
He does.
What did Jesus come to do? Glorify the Father.
That's it.
What are we here to do? Glorify Jesus.
That's right.
And it's just, man, when you say that prayer, that's a prayer where you make a choice. But see, if you're full of pride, don't want, and you want to do your own thing, you won't be going to him with that. You won't be taking heed to those things that are given around you. And you won't go forward in him. It's there for you, But he cannot, the Lord cannot make you take it. Right. He can set you up all around to have it. But he cannot make you take it, receive it, and give it out. And he doesn't know what you're going to do. You got free will. It's there available. But if you don't have it, you're not getting it, you're not receiving.
And this, you know, this process
is not his fault. It's not others' fault.
It involves both some of him and what he chooses to do and some of you and what you choose to do. It's like Steve was pointing out again today that, you know, he was in Colossians 3 last week, as everybody was, I think. But the deal is, you put off this. You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You stop lying to one another. You do all these things that they require effort. Some of it's difficult. But it is.
But then how do you overcome?
You
just like what we've been talking about.
That you learn. It's like muscle memory. You learn. You keep doing this stuff. And you have to keep doing this stuff. Because otherwise, that old dead man's going to rise back up. And he's going to run interference for the enemy. And it's going to stink to be you.
But how you overcome that is by going to him and saying those things. Lord, that's I'm right. struggling loving one another. I'm struggling to do your will. That's how you overcome.
Honest and open.
On your hands and knees, humble, knowing that you can, without him, you can do nothing.
That's it.
That's how you overcome that. And then you go out and you believe his word. You believe, you trust him for the answer. It might not feel like it. You might feel good. Like it at all. But then you go, you trust him despite what you feel, despite what you think, despite what this carnal interface is trying to tell you. And you go step out and watch him. Watch him meet you. And meet you in administering to the other person what they need. What they need to go forward in him. See, that's love. That's loving.
And you learn how to trust him to deliver to you how to minister to the other person. Yeah. It's not up to you to know everything aspect about them and what they need. It's just about you being able to trust the Lord to give them what they need. Amen. And being yourself available. That's all that's about. Sounds simple. Say it fast.
Can be quite the battle.
Yeah, it can.
And the battle's not with... The battle's within our own.
But it's because it's
self.
Not about you. It's about him.
That's right.
And that's always the battle. It's not about you. It's about him.
The battle's within yourself because why? Man, the way man is. Evil art of unbelief.
That's right.
He gave us everything to overcome these things. He gave us him. He's overcome. He said, be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Not you've overcome the world. I have. What do you do? Stand in his victory.
That's right.
You know, so when anything comes against you, enemy comes against you, he don't see you. He sees Jesus. And he's going to hightail it from Jesus. Go ahead, James.
We need to bring the light one to another, as Charlie was talking about today in the service.
These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. They're not going to win. And the tribulation is going to teach you my faithfulness, my reliance. It's going to give you patience. And that patience is going to be rewarded in that other people are going to benefit from you having learned how I operate and how faithful I am, how trustworthy I am, how complete the work I've done is, and how available it is to you. And that's what overcomes the world, is that ministry of the gospel and the love of God, that agape love that isn't conditional. Not based on how you feel about how they're treating you. Not based on you expecting a return for having done it. It's based on he did it.
Or not based on how worthless you are. Not based how what you are capable or not capable of doing.
Absolutely.
So, well, praise the Lord. There's one turnaround in that whole thing I went to mind, but that thing has lost.
Yeah, we're down the last 2.5 minutes, so that maybe have to be tucked away for next time.
Praise the Lord.
So is everybody done? Everybody ready to say, have a great afternoon and a good week?
Have a great afternoon and a good week, buddy.
Yeah, may the Lord bless y'all, and we're out. Who is it up next? Texas. Texas is up next. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next time here on the Hour of Truth.